exist.
But we do.
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 And we need your support.
Listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM.
Tune in to KBOO for our annual live broadcast of the Cathedral Park Jazz Festival, broadcasting from Friday, July 19th through Sunday, July 21st. This year's festival features Johnny Wheels and the Swamp Donkeys, Jujuba, and Tyrone Hendrix and the PDX Soul Collective. Again, that's KBOO's broadcast of the Cathedral Park Jazz Festival, live from St. John's. The broadcast starts at 4:30 p.m. on Friday and at 1 p.m. on Saturday and Sunday. More information can be found at kboo.fm/cathedralpark24.
I will start off with our first question, and this is for all of our panelists. Can you all go over your name, pronouns, and if you're feeling a little spunky, your age?
Sure. I'm Margo. I use they, them pronouns, and I'm 24.
I'm Aerith. I use she, her pronouns, and I'm 27.
I'm Asher. I use they, she pronouns,
and I am 41.
I'm Claire. I use she, they pronouns, and I'm a millennial.
Fantastic. So glad to have you all here. So another little question to lube us up for the conversation, as people say. Could we go over some gender identities, pronouns, sexual orientation, just to set the mood? Margo.
Sure. I'm non-binary. I'm probably a relationship anarchist, and I'm poly.
I'm a transgender woman. I'm polyamorous. I'm a lesbian. Yeah.
I identify as non-binary, and yeah, I am a polyamorous pansexual.
I'm a trans femme, and I'm aromantic.
Fantastic. Thank you all so much. Now, to get into the meat of our conversation, what sort of athletics are you all involved in, or any sports teams that you might be a part of, collectives, etc.?
Yeah, I run a lot. I go to some run clubs. I run with my friends in the woods. I bike a lot. I don't know. It's kind of a lifestyle at this point.
Hmm.
I mainly row crew these days, so it's the boats really early out in the morning on the Willamette, and yeah, that's my main. I used to do a lot of running as well, but not so much these days.
Yeah, I'm primarily a weightlifter now, so I've done a lot of Olympic weightlifting, dabbled in powerlifting. I played lacrosse in college. I also am an equestrian, so I still ride horses as well.
Enchante.
So I run the Jugger team in town. Jugger is a five-person sport that kind of mixes rugby and fencing and tag. It's based off the movie Salute of the Jugger from the late 80s.
Okay, so just to clarify, you are participating in a sport activity based off of a film?
I am.
Okay, fantastic. That is a little refreshing, a little less, you know, of the old school equestrian style. fantastic. So I'll actually start with you for this next question. And it's something that we like to ask most of our panelists as we've been putting on this series. At what stage in life did you come to understand your queerness?
So I was part of the great cracking of 2020. Sitting at home during the height of COVID and had a lot of time to introspect and think about a lot of things, and they all finally started adding up, and I realized that my gender identity was not what I thought it was.
Yeah, that seems to be a sentiment shared by quite a few. 2020 was definitely the breaking through point for quite a few folks. Asher, would you like to share?
Yeah. I knew around 13, I don't think I had the actual words for it yet, but I knew young, like I said, in my early teens, that, yeah, I was attracted to more than one gender. And then as I've gotten older, you know, I've been able to figure out more words for it, as well as, you know, my sexuality. And yeah, that's just been able to broaden as I've gotten older. But I did know fairly young.
Yeah, I started realizing I had some differences in my gender than what was assigned at birth at around 15-ish, and didn't really come out till 17 or so, and went through a litany of trying to figure out who I was attracted to after I came out, and eventually realized I was just a lesbian.
Yeah, I'd say for me it was pretty young too, but I didn't know or didn't like act on it. I mean, I was like pretty open in high school, which was, I think I was the only one maybe. And it was also like another athlete. Like it was just very gay. Like we were just the gay athletes that were together, you know? Someone has to do it at some point. And then I didn't start to realize about gender later. But now it's like the most obvious thing.
Thank you all. I think usually people, you know, associate sports with being, you know, also fitting into these very traditional roles. A lot of people assume athletes are almost synonymous with being straight and cis. And, you know, especially in the last decade or so, we've really come to see that is just simply not the case. Especially, you know, in things like soccer, running, etc. So it is fantastic to be on a panel with all of you folks who are kind of breaking down that big misconception that a lot of people do have. My next question for you all is, do you find there are ways that your queerness plays into this activity that you're involved in, whether it be, you know, being on a team with other queer folks, whether it affects how you interact with other people in your given sport? And yeah, Marco, would you like to start?
Yeah, sure. I don't think it has a huge role to play. Like at some points, like in the woods, it's like, okay, we're just bodies in the woods, like following each other around on a trail, and it doesn't really matter. I would say that like it does matter more in like a race when I'm in the non-binary category, and like when I know I'm the only one and so I'm gonna win the non-binary category, like then it's become more of a thing. But when I'm just out there with my friends, it doesn't, you know, doesn't matter at all.
So, actually, that's very funny that you bring that up. I actually did not realize, because I'm not as aware of what's happening in the sports world, and I'm sure many of our listeners aren't as well. Can you go in a little bit more about how long for you that you've noticed that there's been a non-binary running category. And do you see that across the board in a lot of events that you participate in?
I mean, here, yes. And I feel very lucky to be like running in the area that I am because it is so inclusive and it's not the same across the board. I think Tokyo just added a non-binary category for the marathon, which is like the last six of the majors, which is a big deal. But again, then you get to the Olympics and there's nothing of the sort. So it's like it's happening on different fronts at different paces, but it's kind of exhausting to have to keep up with.
All right. Thank you for the little bit of context. I'm sure that was a big learning thing for a lot of our folks out there. And what about you? How has queerness maybe or maybe not played a role in the sports that you're involved with?
I used to do a lot of trail running, like Margo. But before that, I did. I was rowing in the NCAA as a trans woman. I think myself and one other trans woman, we were the first ever to compete in the NCAA as trans women. And so we came out in the same year, and the NCAA kind of had to figure out rules immediately thereof. There was a lot of back and forth between the powers that be of what that looks like a little bit. And it eventually settled on just 1 year of some hormone replacement therapy for trans women and trans men. Or as long as you've been on that for a year and can prove that, you are allowed to compete as the gender that you identify with. It's a little different outside of the NCAA. So if you're looking more competitive in rowing and in many of the Olympic sports, there's a huge discussion going on right now about that, of how to... what is quote unquote fair in sport and the medical things that you need to have to just compete at a higher level. A lot of documentation.
Is it not 2 years still for the Olympics?
I think they changed that at the last convention.
Oh, they just banned it completely because Leah Thomas is out. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, but that's such a flex though that you like made them make their rules. You're like, I was the first one.
I made them clarify some of their rules. Yeah. They had it on the books and then they didn't actually have anybody like take it
pressuring
up.
Them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for the context too. And it's really interesting to see how this indirect way that they kind of blur the lines between, you know, what is and what is not included in that. So what about you? Do you feel that queerness has played a role in the activities you're involved with?
I think it's played a role in I started my own gym called Prism Moves, and it's a very queer-centered gym, and I think that my queerness has really like led to creating spaces for queer humans to, you know, be able to work out in, be able to compete in, because I think that there's been a lot of, you know, spaces in sports where queerness, especially, unfortunately, you know, transgender humans just aren't, you know, welcome, unless it's like, you know, the stereotypical norm. Like a lot of people expect the soccer women's team to be gay or the WNBA, right? But like nothing against those two organizations, they're fantastic, but it's just like as we get broader into sports, it becomes, there's still a lot of pushback, right, on like supporting the queer community, supporting the trans community. So for me, it's played a part in creating a space where those humans can, you know, work out and be seen, as well as putting, like, I just put on an event this past weekend that was a weightlifting event. It's not sanctioned because we can't sanction it, but it allowed people, non-binary humans and trans humans, to lift as who they are, right, and be seen for who they are. So I think it has absolutely played a part in, like, how I've approached my own sports and kind of how I've changed how I participate, honestly. Like, I don't really do sanctioned weightlifting meets anymore, right? Because weightlifting, unfortunately, is incredibly transphobic, especially on the powerlifting side of things. So it's definitely changed, like, how I participate, for sure.
Thank you. And I'm sure, you know, as much as a lot of our listeners are just kind of being introduced to the intersection of queerness in a lot of areas of life, I'm sure there's also a lot of listeners out there who really identify with not being able to participate in these spaces. And I'm sure that a lot of people are very interested that there are places to go and they don't have to be always excluded. So thank you. Claire, can you give us a little info about how your queerness has played a role in your activities?
Of course. So Jugger has always been fully gender inclusive since the sport was created. Like in the movie, you have Joan Chen's character playing right alongside Rucker Hauer's character. Like it's fully gender inclusive, and as the sport became transitioning into real life, that ethos has been maintained. So, but even then, it's still very much a cishet man dominated sport. And the team I run in Portland is very, very queer. Like most of the players are somewhere on the rainbow spectrum. And we were kind of the first team in the country to have that as part of our team identity. And since then, like a lot of the like younger college teams are kind of moving into that mold with like being very, very inclusive, very queer, particularly up and down the West Coast in Arizona and Colorado. It's recently in playing at a tournament in Canada. They're also very queer out there in their teams. So it's like, it's something that I like try to bring to the sport wherever I go with it.
Sounds fun.
And I just want to remind our listenership that you are listening to KBOO 90.7 FM Portland, your favorite radio station, your radio station of choice here in Portland, Oregon. And you are tuned in to our seventh live panel in commemoration of Pride Month and LGBTQIA2S+ heritage. So yeah, join us in celebration of the vast heritage of lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer and questioning, intersex, asexual or agender, as well as two-spirit community members. And tonight, we are live in Studio One with our seventh panel, Queer Sports. Such a wonderful pleasure to be here in this room with these luminous people educating our community about different details that defined our community. So what about if you share with us a moment, your happiest and proudest moments as an athlete? Just enlighten us. Who would like to start?
You can go. I'll go, yeah. Mm-hmm. So back in the before four, in pre-COVID, I was living in Ireland and playing for an Irish team. And we made it to the World Championship final, which had to that point been completely dominated by teams from Germany and Spain. They're the two powerhouses of Jugger. And then, like, out of nowhere, our team made a run to the finals. And, like, that summer, we were, like, one of the top teams in the world. So far, I'm the most successful American player of Jugger. So that's been very cool.
Hooray.
Nice, Claire.
I would also be pretty proud of that. That's really awesome.
And now I need to look up more about Jugger. Definitely.
There's a lot of stuff on YouTube.
Love it.
Well, Asher, what about you? What are some of your proudest moments? I definitely would be proud starting a gym that is inclusive for queer folks.
Yeah, no, that's definitely at the top of the list. And it has been for 5 years now, I would say. It's I get a lot of, there's just a lot of joy in being able to see what my community gets out of the gym, right? So like, even if it's not me athletically, like it is very much, has provided me a lot of joy. So that's definitely a big one, starting the gym. And then just that I've been able to continue to compete in, as I get older. I'm not old, obviously, but like just as, I've been able to keep my athletic abilities throughout my life and have continued to be able to lift and try new sports. And so I love that. I just love that I get to keep moving.
Thank you. Aaron?
Yeah, it was actually pretty recently. I row for a master's team now, which is essentially like, I don't know how to describe master's.
Like not, older than
college? Not college. Not college rowing.
It's college division.
Yeah. And it's like different for each sport, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like weightlifting, you're a master's at 35.
Really?
Yeah.
Swimming, it's old. Like right after. Yeah.
Yeah, it's right weird. After for crew mm-hmm. too. Yeah. But I, for U.S. master's rowing at least, you race the gender you say you are, which is pretty nice. Yeah. And so I went down to San Diego to row at the San Diego Crew Classic with a bunch of people I didn't know at all. And it was just a boat that was thrown together through a series of people that knew people and stuff. And we raced a really competitive age category in masters rowing, where we were racing against some ex-USA national team members. And while we didn't win, I don't want to talk about it. we gave them a very, very good run for their money, and it felt really cool to compete at a higher level, presenting the gender I am. And all the women Ooh. In that boat didn't bat an eye, and it felt very, very accepting.
That's so, brilliant.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
This is so inspiring. Awesome. I'm like, how am I supposed to talk now? Mine was actually recently, too. I mean, like I said, I was the only non-binary, like, athlete at this ultra in May that I did. And I kind of knew that, which is weird to know beforehand, because you know there's going to be a podium, and they're going to get recognized for, like, no matter what you do. So it's kind of like I was competing against myself, which was great in a way. But then I was just, like, passing men at the end, like, white men. And I was like, this is amazing. And, yeah, that was really cool. But, I don't know, to be recognized by, like, on a podium, like, yeah, like that from a race, like, race officials is really cool. And, like, it's rare. So I'm, like, thinking about, like, where that wouldn't have happened, you know, in even in the U.S. So, yeah. But also I think, like, how I show up for myself over and over again through sport is, like, what I'm most proud of, at, like, outside of, like, a one individual accomplishment.
Thank you. I'm moving on to a question that I've been very excited to kind of get into, and this one might be a little bit more of a little bit more meat to it. Sports is obviously a lot more than just, you know, doing your given, throwing, running, et cetera, et cetera. It is definitely a culture's thing. And so I want you all to talk a little bit more about the community itself in your given activity, what that's like here in Portland, the good, the bad, the ugly, the gay. Yeah, and Claire, actually, I'd love to hear, start with you, considering you have a really queer team.
Yes, I do. Yeah, so, you know, it's just, I mean, I kind of built the team with the help of a friend of mine. We kind of built it from the ground up starting in 2018. So we kind of were really able to craft it in our own image, which is like just kind of gay nerds. I met multiple partners through Jugger. So, one of my partners runs the team out in Eastern Washington. Another one doesn't play as much, but they are kind of involved in like an organizational capacity. We get together for food a lot. We play Magic the Gathering. And we just, you know, it's the community of Jugger is kind of why I've kept coming back to it, and like why I kind of persevered through when there were just like three of us in the park hitting each other with sticks. Like it was like there was a lot of like building this like weird niche sport kind of out of nothing was trying. Like it was, there were a lot of times where I was like, this is not working, no one's responding to what I'm putting out. And it was definitely disheartening at times, but like just then like I was able to travel to like other parts of the country where there's more of an established scene and just like see my friends again, see that like what they have is going, and like that kind of kept me involved and just like still doing this after a decade.
Wow, a decade. That's impressive. Do you feel like there was a certain point that, things kind of like broke through and then you really had a little bit more engagement from folks?
Yeah, I'd say mid-2022, we kind of got like a bunch of new people coming in and we started to be able to hold full practices, which really makes everything a lot better. And now we're like going from strength to strength, and we're regularly having, you know, we've got some people in with Reed College now, so we've got way more momentum than we had kind of going into the pandemic.
Fantastic. Aerith?
Is there like something that you think your team did to help facilitate that? Was it like just social media, or did you like do outreach to start growing or things like that?
Honestly, most of the people who found us through Meetup.
Oh, that's interesting.
And like one person found us through Reddit, and that was about it.
That's awesome.
I love that Reddit is a vehicle for sport in that way. Like, that's hilarious.
Not what I would think.
You could never tell high school me that. I would
What were you doing on Reddit?
I was listening to creepypasta stories.
As you should.
Asher, what about you? You actually, you know, run a space for people, and I'm sure that involves a lot of community. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, no, absolutely. The space came to fruition because of that need for community. So I was working as a coach, personal trainer at a different gym, and a lot of my clients that I already had, you know, fell into the, you know, queer community or were part of the queer community. And a lot, I just had gotten a lot of the same story about just not finding a place that they felt comfortable to work out in, whether that was because of looks or because of, you know, being misgendered. There was just a lot, I was just getting a lot of the same stories, right? So that's why I built the space. And then since then, it's become very clear that, you know, the space is needed and the community I do have is, you know, very, very grateful and very caring of the space and very caring of each other. Like, it's a fantastic community that just really, truly supports me and each other. A great example is, you know, again, you know, I talk about the gym, and yet I also, you know, do the sport of weightlifting. And again, weightlifting can be very problematic for different reasons. So in a broader community, there's my gym and then a few other gyms. I have friends at a gym called Odd Barbell. I have friends in Seattle at a gym called Rain City, where we have started putting on these meets, like I said, these weightlifting meets that aren't sanctioned, but we put them on so that people can compete, right? And we don't care, like no one cares that they're sanctioned or that you're not getting like national points, right? It's about the fact that we have now have these gyms in these different communities that are putting
people just crying? Like, I would just be crying watching everybody. Like, is that what's happening?
I mean, sometimes, yes. Yeah, okay. Sometimes, yes. But yeah, we have these gyms now. We have these connections and this network, right, that are putting on these competitions because it's a need and because people want to lift and be strong and feel seen. So that's community's played a huge role in how I've created my space as well as how it's kind of networked out into other spaces. And it's fantastic.
Wow, thank you. Thank you. Very cool to hear about. I would also be, yeah, I'd be crying. Maybe from lifting weights too. But
that also sometimes happens.
I say as I'm somehow sweating in this radio room. Aerith, what about you? What's the community sort of like?
Yeah, I row for a club right now called Station L. And the club itself is very accepting. The coaches are very welcoming, and we have a lot of LGB folks in our club. There isn't a ton of trans representation in there, but it's been not an issue of me joining at all, and everyone's been super respectful, and I don't get any flack about being a trans woman in that club itself. On a wider scale, though, definitely a lot of my accomplishments, especially when I was in the NCAA, and even now, always seem to have an asterisk on them. Any of the times that I do perform well in my sport, always have this like, yeah, but. And you know, I've been out for 10 years. I've been on hormone replacement therapy for that long. There's a lot of good science to back up that doesn't affect me competing yes. at all.
Yeah. Yes.
And it can get pretty frustrating to, you know, every now and then do well, and then no one sees all the times that I've lost and all yeah, the times exactly. that I put in work. And so there is a bit of frustration sometimes on the wider scale, but the people that I row with on a day-to-day basis are really good people.
Great, great. And then just a follow-up question for you then, too. Are these people that, you know, outside of your team that you end up spending any time with, have you built any connections through that? Yeah.
Sorry, could you ask that again? I'm a little confused.
Oh, yes. Outside of being on the team and playing together, competing together, do you have any connections with those folks outside?
Not too much right now. I've only been with this team for about a year, and I'm also in grad school right now, so I have no time for anything at all.
You yeah, all are I'm busy.
Fourth year grad student. I don't know where I am actually right now. yeah, so not too much, no.
All right, thank you. I would also not have any time for friends if I was in grad school, so congratulations. Margo, what about you?
Yeah, I was just thinking, actually, I swam in college, and I was in the women's category, and it was, like, so cis, and, like, there was no space. Like, I for sure knew that I was not a woman, and there was no space for that at all. So, like, coming out of that, like, coming out of college and, like, having room and, like, immediately being thrown in these orgs and spaces that, like, there is room is, like, so refreshing. And also it was, like, so black and white. Like, the difference is crazy. Even though it was, like, a liberal arts school, like, in this city. And also just, like, not a lot of people of color either. So, and then, yeah, it just, the layers are layering. Okay. But I also, like, I don't know. I feel like I still do get gendered at Run Club, which it's crazy that when it happens, I'm like so taken aback because it doesn't happen to me very often. But if it does happen to me in a day, it's at Run Club, you know? So it's an interesting space to like put myself in repeatedly because I know I want to do it. It's like, well, this might happen. Like there might be a white, you know, 40-year-old dude that's going to gender me. And yeah, I don't know. It's a choice for sure. And like there are some that like are so safe. And then there are others that like I'm still choosing to go to because there's like some elements of, you know, something. But yeah, I've made like great friends through the running and like biking and other communities. I feel like once you find the like sporty gays, like they want to do all the sports, you know? So it's like, okay, well now what are we going to do? Like everyone wants to like learn how to skate on their days off or like do something else. Like we're always trying to, yeah. And Asher, I recognize you because the freaking Love Lies Bleeding ride started at the gym and I wanted to shout it out because that was amazing.
That was that
and all of the gay athletes were like showing out. I was like, this is amazing.
It was adorable. And that wasn't even me. That was one of my members, Ray. Mm-hmm. They put it on. I love when my members do like take initiative. But yeah, Ray actually put that on. But yeah. Yes, that was amazing. It was hilarious to have all of these humans meet at the gym and they're all
in their little outfits. And yeah, I was like, this is who is filming this for the, like a movie?
Oh, it was so
like,
good. It was so good.
It was great.
Thank you all so much for sharing. And then Ender, you have a little announcement for our listeners.
Yeah, just a little announcement that if you tune in, well, you are listening to KBOO 90.7 FM Portland. Also, K2H2BH Philomath, that's 104.3 FM, and 91.9 FM K220HR Hood River. And you're tuned into our seventh live panel in commemoration of Pride Month and LGBTQIA2S+ heritage. And I also want to remind you that KBOO is a community radio station. We're volunteer-powered. So if you want to participate and collaborate to this awesome experiment of communication that's been going on for so many years, it's very simple. All you have to do is go to kboo.fm/give. That is kboo.fm/give. You can also grab your phone and simply type in the magic letters KBOO to the number 44321. Easy number, 44321. And lastly, you can always mail your participation to our radio station to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. And I also want to remind you that we're live here in Studio One at KBOO Studios, and you can call. Your calls are welcome. That is 503-231-8187. That is 503-231-8187. Participation will be brief, but we are looking forward to, you know, getting your thoughts and communicating with our awesome panelists here. Artie.
Yeah. So thank you all again for being here. I am I feel very privileged to be in the room with all of you, so thank you. So to get into a little bit more of a heavier place, it is obviously no secret that topics around being queer and trans are hot and heavy in people's mouths, especially around sports. So I want to say, for me, I, as a person who believes all folks should be able to participate, my perspective is sports are more or less, you know, made up, the rules, the conditions, etc. So for me, it doesn't really make sense why they would be made up to be exclusive. So I'm kind of curious what your all thoughts are. You're a little bit more about your experiences. We've touched on it a little bit, but what do we have to say to people who genuinely don't believe everybody should be able to participate? Take it away. Also, any of you.
So the biggest driver of success in sports, particularly at a top level, is like funding and access to high quality coaching at a young age. Like, no amount of like muscle, height, anything are going to make up for having, like, you know, being able to pay for top level coaching when you're a kid. So like the main inequalities of sport are not bodies, they're financial. And until we solve that, we shouldn't be talking about bodies at all.
Thank you.
Sure. I stepped away from competitive sports when I left the NCAA just because of how frustrating the bureaucracy became. And I think it's really, really hard to have, whenever I talk about trans people in sports, the best way to talk about it and to actually get people to listen is to talk about all the times that we've failed in getting to like winning something, like Leah Thompson, who lost a lot of races. Yep. Mm-hmm. There's a transgender cyclist who was on the world tour briefly and then lost and got mm-hmm. off. And it's really frustrating that a lot of this conversation to justify any place that I have in competitive sports has to be focused around my failures instead of any sort of like pride mm-hmm. and success of representing a community.
Yeah. It's like, wow, you really don't want us to succeed. Even if yeah. you let us in, we're not even allowed to like yeah. be the best or like have a long career or whatever else.
Yeah. And also, especially in women's sports, no one talked about it until like.
Yeah.
Well, and like you said, and please, you know, for the. But when you look at like Leah Thomas, no one talks about how her, you know, I think what was her one of, I don't know, I'm sorry, like correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know what the exact races and times, but like I think her 500 meter, you know, swim time is like 9 seconds off Katie Ledecky, right? Mm-hmm. Which in the top level of sports, 9 seconds is like huge.
That's huge so in a 500.
It's huge in a 500.
And Katie Ledecky is beating everyone and she's by beating, an insane
exactly.
amount.
So people.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry. Exactly. Yeah.
So I think the biggest.
And like Michael Phelps had abnormally long arms.
Oh, yes, exactly.
Like he'd had a genetic advantage.
No, it's true. They've even said Michael Phelps had an abnormally long wingspan, which helped him in the water. So should he not compete against other men because he has this advantage? I think it's unfortunate with a lot of cis people, and please feel free to interrupt me, but I'm going to go on a rant. But it's unfortunate with cis people because the blanket statement is men are stronger than women, and it's a blanket statement, right? Which is a horribly broad generalization because I know that there are women that I know that lift weights that are way stronger than a bunch of the men I know, right? There are not, it's, everything is not just like one or the other, A, B, black and white. There's this whole spectrum of strength, of ability, just like there's a whole spectrum of gender and sexuality. So when you try and blanket statement that, it doesn't make sense. And two, again, you're not looking at, you know, a transgendered athlete's losses. You're only pinpointing maybe that one, like Leah Thomas was the scapegoat. There was a transgender weightlifter out of Australia, Laurel Hubbard, who made the Olympics for Australia. She, and again, not taking away from her accomplishments, she made it to the Olympics, but she bombed. Like, she did not do well. She didn't win. She wasn't breaking records or like beating all of the other women in this sport. Like, you're not, people are only thinking in terms of this very emotional
somewhat patriarchal view of men are strong, women aren't. And then they're throwing that into this, you know, into sports and using the few transgender athletes they know as the scapegoat, as opposed to looking at as, again, Leah Thomas isn't the best. She's a great swimmer. She's not the best out of the women. She's not. And that's okay. That's not taking away from her accomplishments.
You know who else? You know who did go on HRT to become the best? Lionel Messi.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he had to
go on Messi.
He had to go on hormone therapy to basically, he went on growth hormones as a child. Barcelona paid for all of that. So, like, it's cis people who we should be worried about who are taking hormones to win at sports.
That's exactly what I've been saying. We have to worry about cis people.
I do every day.
Yeah, it seems, I correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like a lot of people's concerns and worries are not about actual people, but about these weird hypothetical situations they are constructing in their mind. I feel sorry for them, actually. Margo.
Yeah, I also just think it's like, it's just so made up, and like, we're limiting ourselves for such like stupid reasons, and like the mental toll of just that, being a trans athlete in that space, like imagine how much faster whoever could go, you know, or like how heavier, like that is a factor, and that really makes me sad, because that's the limits, and like those are very real, but I do believe that sports are a vehicle for change, so if we increase access to them, it's only gonna, you know, help things, and that's been like freaking, I think, academically proven at this point, which is crazy.
Thank you all. That is exactly what I think a lot of folks needed to kind of chew on and like understand a little bit more. Asher, what are your thoughts?
Sorry, just an add to that, because I think sometimes, you know, the other argument people will like to bring up is, you know, kids in sports, and oh my gosh, kids, and yeah, and I'm, you know, they're, I don't have all the answers, but I do know that like at that level, because we're talking at a very base level. The mental health factor is way more important for trans children, trans kids, to be able to be seen as accepted for who they are than, you know, some medal your kid got on the weekend. You know, I don't want to take away from anyone's kids and what you're doing, but also mental health is so important. And that is probably, and I would argue, more important, especially for the trans and queer community.
When my therapist told me that running was the best thing I could be doing for my autism, I was like, I somehow my body already knew that, but yes, you needed to actually tell me the words. And I second that. Like, if there's not a space where I feel like I can go and do that, then like my whole, I don't know, everything is off. And so it just is a huge component that we're not even thinking about. Somehow it gets left out.
Also, just in general, it's better for children's sports to be competing less and practicing more. Like, just across the board, we shouldn't kids should be playing fewer competitive matches and just having more fun playing sports with their friends.
Absolutely, Aerith.
Yeah, and speaking on the, like, sports holding a lot of children back, especially when, like, in high school, that's when a lot of gender exploration happens. I competed in crew in high school at a pretty high level as well, and was trying to get scholarships for it to D1 schools and all that, and I got injured, and literally six or seven months after I got injured is when I finally had the energy and time and felt like I was in a safe enough place to actually come out. And so, like, sports in that case really held me back, because it was such a regimented and enforced not stereotype, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, personality type that you had to have and conform to these cis male standards. And then when I got away from that, I realized a lot of things about myself, and it really did hold me back. And sports do affect a lot of children's lives. And so having a space that is so policed by powers that be that should not police them, and forcing these ideals on these on children are way more of a concern than me every now and then winning something.
absolutely. The idealization of the white cis body is just insane, and it like perpetuates us all so deep, and I don't think we can escape that, but we're gonna try really hard to.
Yeah, doing the work right now. Yeah, and correct me again if I'm wrong, because I am
not a sports person by any means, but it seems like, you know, all these weird and very binary rules, you know, are very arbitrary in their nature. It just seems so no longer based in reality. So I guess, yeah, to round it out, it does not make sense why we would build something and uphold it that is just made to exclude people. And then I would like to remind our listeners that you are listening to KBOO Portland 90.7. Today is Tuesday, July 16th, 2024, and you are tuned in for KBOO's LGBTQIA2S+ community panel for our Pride series, celebrating the rich and vast heritage of our queer community. And we are talking to queer people in sports. So I'd like to round to our next question. Where, after, you know, this heavy and really intricate and complex topic, where do you hope to see the world of sports in the future? The general sports, your particular area, especially as we think about the new generation and especially children and all the restrictions that they're weird parents are putting on them. Hope streams, everyone.
I'll go. I think that there is still a lot of, I think before we could talk about idealized sports rules and exactly how we pit people against each other in our respective sports, just a simple matter of, like, accepting that there are different gender identities and seeing those different gender identities represented in your competitive field. Like, I don't have the answers of what exactly is right about exactly how we should compete against one another at the highest level, but I know where we're at is wrong, and especially with the recent step back with the IOC banning a lot of trans athletes is just really disheartening. So I think the first main focus is just getting that acceptance back.
Yeah.
Thank you. And for our listeners, will you explain what the IOC is?
Oh, International Olympic Committee.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. The IOC for a long time had a policy in place for transgender athletes, right? Like, it was a path to compete, and it was correct me if I'm wrong, but it was 2 years, right? It would be a 2-year path of hormone therapy, you know, having your hormones at a certain level. Like, there was a path to compete, and the IOC had it in place. I'm not saying
that's totally fine having them check levels and stuff. I mean, we can talk about the intricacies of that all day, but I have a lower testosterone level than any cis woman. I don't and I have had that for over 10 years. There's no advantage to that whatsoever. And the IOC used to be very, like, reading the academic literature on it, and they have just since stopped. And
that's what I mean. They used to have it in place, but like you said, yeah, now it's just gone out the window, which is very unfortunate.
A little testy about that, sorry.
No, absolutely. No, you have every right to be, because, like I said, it's, you know, I would just, yeah.
I think it's interesting. I mean, the Olympics start in, like, I don't know, 10 days. I don't know the exact date, but I think it's sooner than that, actually. But there's, like, some things that could potentially happen. There's a runner that's competing in the, like, women's 1500, Nikki Hiltz, who's non-binary, but runs in the women's division. Yeah, and they could do really well. I think it's going to have the ability to, like, stir the pot. And I do want to say that, like, it is notable that, like, they are, like, getting the most recognition for being a non-binary athlete because they are white. Yep. There are other people on the U.S. track team that are non-binary, but they don't get as much coverage and they're not runners. And so they don't fit the, like, stereotype that the media eats up.
Yeah.
And that's Raven Saunders, who throws, and they're amazing. I had something else to say about the Olympics, but I'm also, like, from an environmental perspective, like, there are no Olympics. Like, I'm on that side of things, but I also love competition and I love what it does to people, and I'm, like, excited to watch. But it just wrecks cities. I mean, this has been proved over and over again.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
we need a different system. But
so, kind of bringing it back to a local level, I really want Jugger to grow. Like, I've been pushing this for a while. Have some good signs. I want to shout out Southwest Portland Martial Arts.
Oh, yeah.
who put on a camp for trans kids and invited me to teach them jugger.
Oh, that makes me so happy. So
cool. So, I'm friends with one of the moms of those kids, and she's like trying to get some of the other parents to be okay with me teaching their kids to hit each other with sticks on a more regular basis.
I love that for them.
And
everyone check out Jugger.
Yeah, I'm just going to put a plug in. We practice every Saturday at 11 a.m. at Alberta Park in North Portland. Ooh. Just bring closed-toed shoes and stuff to run in.
Prism people, that's close to us.
Yeah, that kind of makes me wonder, too, if, you know, the future of sports, now that you have significantly more people who are coming out, who are no longer identifying with the binary or the assigned gender at birth, if you are going to see more exploration into just turning away from these very traditional means of competing or playing, and we're going to have more unofficial weightlifting and more jugger games, and if, you know, kind of it will change the whole dynamic of what sports we're actually playing and how we decide to compete amongst ourselves. So I think
there's a huge accessibility aspect to it too, especially, like, I don't know, in running, and it's just so white. And I do want to shout out the Trail Mix Fund that pays for entry fees for BIPOC or LGBTQ plus IA people to run. So, like, if you've ever wanted to do a trail race, like, please just go and sign the form, and they'll give you money or, like, give you an entry for free, and it's amazing.
Know that.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
It's, no, and that's how I did my race. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. Shout out Margo, because Trail Mixed does a strength class at Prism once a month. So
I think that's a different Trail Mix.
Oh, different.
But
yes, my
bad.
Sorry.
There's two. But that org is also awesome. Yep. No, but this one is like for Go Beyond, specifically for all the trail races. But they have a fund and people donate to it when they sign up for their event. And that's how I was able to like race my 50K, and it was amazing. I'm like, wow, I didn't have to pay for this. It makes my life so much easier, because it's like accessibility is a huge issue.
Huge, yeah.
Thank you. So I'm really curious, again, this is coming from somebody who has not played a sport in their entire life.
I love
life.
The honesty. You just, yeah.
Yeah. One time I tried to join track and they made me do shot put, which I do think is a plus size cornered sport.
Yeah, that's annoying.
But I am curious, for those of you who have been doing this a long time, what do you do in your periods of burnout? I'm sort of curious. I mean, it sounds like you are very active in a lot of stuff, even beyond your sports and activity. And so how do you stay motivated, and how do you practice a little bit of self-care?
Well, it was, so I had a pretty wild whole saga where I was competing at a very high level in Ireland. Then I moved back to the US and suddenly I had to like start over from the bottom. And that was tough. And, you know, I did a lot of therapy for all sorts of things, not just that, but like, and just like, it helps to be able to, like, you know, every few months I have like a tournament to go to, or even if I don't have my own team, I can just like show up. Five people to play with, like, be reminded of why I do this, and like, and just like have that, like, even if it's not a week in and week out thing, it's like something to look forward to, just like keep the fire burning and just like have that in the background.
Thank you. Asher, how do you avoid burnout?
Oh, goodness. everyone that's listening to me talk is like, they don't. I agree with what Clara said. You know, if you have something like a competition kind of on the back burner, or maybe a couple months away, it helps keep you focused. I've also gotten to a point where, you know, I'm okay where it's, where if I have a lull, you know, I'm kind of just coming out of a lull. I wasn't really training for a couple months. And recently I decided, okay, well, I'm ready to get out of this lull, but what does that mean? And I'm going to try something different. I got a new coach. I might try some strongman, strongwomen stuff instead of generic, like, typical weightlifting. So for me, it's more about, it has become more about accepting when I need to take time off, because I think that all athletes should, and I know it's hard, but I think they should, as well as, you know, if I'm feeling burned out on this current sport, do I need to switch it up, or do I just need to, you know, maybe change what I'm, is it a change of coach, is it a change of schedule, do you know, just looking for ways to, or looking for what the cause is, really, you know, like what is kind of bringing me down about this, so.
Thank you.
I think rowing has a really high level of burnout, just because a lot of what our training is hours and hours and hours on the one erg machine in the gym alone, and so it can get a little make you go a little crazy. But I think for me it's changing sports. So we have a spring season and a fall season, and making sure that I'm doing other sports that are really cardio heavy, and so that way when I do come back to rowing, I'm still performing at the level I want to perform at, because there's no way I can row an hour and a half every day alone.
What?
Every day. I can't do that. Yeah.
No, I think what you said about, like, finding the element, or, like, what is making you, like, the cause of the burnout, it's like, oh, well, do I need to run alone? Or do I need to, like, hang out with my run friends and not run? You know, it's the community. Like, which totally. One is it? And sometimes I will know, and my body will tell me. And sometimes I really have to think about it, and it's hard. But it's worth, like, doing that mental gymnastics in the long run, for sure.
And then, you know, therapy. Always therapy.
Yeah.
So much therapy.
Yeah. You know, I do so much therapy. It's almost a sport.
Winning at therapy.
What's your PR on therapy?
I think also, like, if you, it's the time, for me sometimes it's like the time with myself. And so it's like, if I can get time with myself in a different way, that's like not about, you know, having my heart rate beat a certain, like above a certain threshold, like we can just do chill time by ourselves, you know? It doesn't have to be insane.
Thank you all so much. So I'm kind of curious, and you've been dropping a lot of names, which has been super cool. But just to reiterate, are there any, like, queer athletes that have inspired you, you want to give a shout out to? Take it away. No queer athletes.
I feel like I've already named a couple.
Yeah.
I think what I want to shout out is that a friend that organizes a run club is having its 1 year birthday on Friday at 7 a.m. at Water Ave Coffee. So everyone should come, and we do like chill party pace, and then we have coffee. So
cool.
Yeah. But it's early run. It's early crow run club. So everyone look it up. That's my shout out.
That's amazing.
Back to my shout out of Southwest Portland Martial Arts, my partner Jadra, who they've done a bunch of jugger, they teach kung fu, they're just like one of the most badass humans I know, and yeah, and I'm hoping they can play with them again soon.
That's a good point, though. Like, we deserve to have, like, people who inspire us in our local areas, and then also at a huge, like, national and world level. And so seeing that, like, not penetration of queer athletes, but sometimes that's what it is, at the different levels is cool.
I think one of the things that brings me a lot of joy is we row out of the same boathouse that Rose City, a high school team, does. And there are pretty obviously a lot of queer kids on that team, and that makes me
That's
really
amazing.
Happy to see.
Yeah.
Like that does make me really happy to see. So, yeah. Also, Station L, if you're ever interested in rowing, they're pretty cool. You just have to wake up early. Sometimes we do have an option that you can practice at 12. It's there, if you want.
Does anyone take that option? Or
yeah, they do. They do. Okay. No, it's there. You don't have to wake up that early.
Could do that.
It's pretty fun.
I definitely would. So it has come to the point where I ask everybody to share I ask you my favorite question, and I ask you all to share. And this is a little bit more general. Again, we've asked this across many panels, so not necessarily something sports related, but could be. What is a moment of queer joy that you've experienced? I feel oftentimes people love when queer people dwell on all these big, bad, and dark things. But primarily, I think our strongest asset is not the stuff we've overcome, but the stuff we've enjoyed. If anyone would like to share that moment.
I think it's been this kind of this broad, there's been this broad, maybe a broad moment. It's a series of moments for me, over, especially over the past couple of years, of really being able to find and kind of fall into my community, right? Like, especially with the gym and all of the humans that I've met through the gym, just having this community and this safe space that I didn't have, you know, when I was younger, or this community that I didn't, you know, I've had great friends through the years. I'm not, you know, family, but it's just, it's having those humans that, you know, that share the similar experiences that you can, you know, talk to, and they can relate. And for me, that's been so important and so, and has brought me so much joy over the past couple of years, is that truly finding, you know, my humans, my community. And that's been my joy for sure.
Thank you.
For me, it was going to Contra Queer Camp. It's a dance camp down in outside of Santa Cruz, and it's just like dozens of queer people just like hanging out, dancing, and singing for a weekend.
You are listening to KBOO Port.
Support for this program comes from KBOO members and Oregon Reggae Fest, July 26th through the 28th in Junction City, Oregon, featuring 3 days of reggae workshops and more. Information and tickets at OregonReggaeFest.com.
KBOO Portland.
Baby, what you wanna do? Shoot your shot, cause I'm bulletproof. Load it up and do-do-do. Baby, what you wanna do? I'm ready to pull up on you. I'm ready to do what I do. This type have you wildin'. Last minute trips to the islands. Trip, trip, trip when you're sliding. Flip, 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 baby, riding. Don't hesitate when you in it, cause you know I like it.